Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
I know that God wants to speak to some people here this morning. God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring freedom and breakthrough to some people here this morning. You know, we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all on the journey. Salvation is just this incredible doorway into, you know, into the blessing of God and into that God kind of life. But how many know we don't want to just live in the doorway, do we? We want to step into the fullness of everything that God has for us. And that means us going on that journey of healing and wholeness and breakthrough as He molds us, as He makes us, as He crafts what He's doing in our hearts and in our lives. So I've been praying and I was like, God, what do you want me to speak on? And I cannot get away from this whole theme of from brokenness to wholeness. From brokenness to wholeness. I just can't get away from this whole thing. This is what God has been doing in my life over many years, but I really sense that God's doing it here in this place. He's taking us from brokenness to wholeness. Amen. So turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This was the launch of Jesus' ministry. And he was filled, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. We all know the story when, you know, he was baptized in the River Jordan and the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came and fell upon him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Even before he'd done anything, he had the approval and the love and the acceptance and the affirmation of the Father. And that's the same for us. Even before you do anything, God loves you. God approves of you. God, His face is towards you. And then Jesus, He came to the synagogue and he opened the prophet Isaiah, the scroll. He opened the book. He found the place where it was written. And we look to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are the word, Lord. And so, God, as we open these scriptures, Lord, reveal to us Jesus. Reveal to us areas in our heart, Lord, that we need to repent of, Lord. Give us clarity. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we open up your word, God. Bring healing and wholeness into our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you, Lord, that you speak to each and every person here today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, I grew up on a farm. I grew up actually on a farm in Tasmania. So part of my childhood was on a farm in Tasmania and we had cows and chickens and stuff like that. And my dad loved to fix things. You know, the tractor would break and he'd fix that. And then, you know, the roof would leak and he'd fix that. And then something else would break and he'd fix this. And he loved fixing things. But sometimes what he fixed didn't quite work, and like, you know, a few days later it'd break again, or, you know, it fell apart again, or whatever. Who here loves fixing things? Who's a fixer? Come on. Most of the guys I know, you know, we've all got sheds and stuff. I've got we've just moved into a house and I've got a garage and I've you know, set up all my tools and I love fixing things, but sometimes the things that I fix, they break. I'm not always a good fixer. And, you know, we live in a society too that not a lot of times society likes fixing things. We just sort of throw it away. It's like, okay, that's broken. Let's throw it away and let's get something else. Let's buy something new again. But how many know that God loves fixing things? He's the great fixer. He's the great restorer. You know, when we first got married, we had a honeymoon. You know, you get married and you go on a honeymoon, and we went to Bali. We booked this this trip, and we went to Bali, and we're staying in this beautiful hotel, and I went for a swim in the pool, and you know, I'm trying to impress my new wife, and I'm swimming in the pool, and I come up out of the pool, and there's this step at the edge of the pool, and I had my eyes closed, and as I went up, the corner of the step of the pool hit my tooth, and my front tooth chipped totally in half. And I'm like, oh no. And I came out of the pool and went, honey, I broke my tooth. She looked at me and went, oh, flip. I had this great big chip on my tooth. And I'm like, oh no, I've just been married. I'm trying to make it. And now I'm like, I've got this huge big chip on my tooth. And I'm like, okay, we got to find a dentist. So we went to, so we asked the hotel manager and we said, oh, look, we need to find a dentist to come and fix this tooth. And he goes, oh yeah, over here. And so we went these back roads of Bali and we found this dentist, or so we thought. And so we sat in the waiting room and we asked, why is it taking so long? And she came back and she said, oh, he's actually delivering a baby at the moment, so he won't be too long. And I'm like, dentist, baby, I mean, is that what the dentists do here? Anyway, we managed to get in and he fixed my tooth, but honestly, it was like a lump of just stuff on my tooth. And I went, honey, it's fixed. And it was just like, oh, I'm like, oh no. Anyway, flying home, it actually fell off. And luckily I went to the dentist when I got back to Australia and they fixed it and repaired it and everything. But why did I share that story? God loves to fix things, and he does. He does with us. You know, there's been many times in my life that I've experienced brokenness. Who here has experienced brokenness? Broken dreams, broken situations, broken heart, broken identity, broken relationships. You know, the relationships going, breaking relationships. It's part of our human experience. We experience brokenness in our lives. We live in a fallen world and we experience brokenness. You know, even in Scripture, if you look at Scripture, it's full of stories of broken people, broken dreams, situations, broken relationships. And also, we have a broken Savior, a Savior who was broken for us, who died on a cross and was broken for us. I mean, we just celebrated communion, and that's what communion is all about, is remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus, remembering his brokenness for us, that he was broken for us. You know, one of the key stories in the Bible is the brokenness of David. I love the story of David in the Bible. You know, it's really good when you read the Bible is to get into the stories and find out, you know, which person in the Bible can you relate to, or which person in the Bible can you learn a lot from? And I love the, you know, David, he was a man after God's own heart. He loved to worship God, but he had some brokenness. He did some really bad stuff. I mean, you know, we all know the story. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then Nathan the prophet confronted him, and, you know, he wrote this Psalm 51. It's a beautiful psalm of repentance and owning up and confession for his sin. And there's something really powerful in that scripture. Because he was broken before God. He came to God with a broken and a contrite heart. And then God restored him. God brought him back because of his heart to open up his heart before God and to acknowledge his sin, acknowledge what he had done wrong. God restored him. And then he had a son, and his son's name was Solomon. And Solomon, the name Solomon means peaceful completeness. Restored, beloved. That's the name Solomon. And Solomon ended up being the greatest and the richest king that ever lived. And he ushered in the greatest season of peace upon the nation of Israel. That's the restorative nature of God. Even though David sinned, you know, he repented. He came before God with his brokenness and God healed him. God set him free. God restored him and God gave him a son. You know, there's something powerful about brokenness, that through it, God brings us into wholeness. God brings us into wholeness. All of the broken pieces in our lives, all of this stuff that we struggle with, all the brokenness that we struggle with, God has this unique, amazing ability to take that brokenness and bring us into wholeness. You know, Jesus' mission on the planet, we just read here, was to heal the brokenhearted. That's why Jesus came, to come and heal the brokenhearted. You know, there's something about brokenness that God desires in us in order to bring us to Him. There's a beauty in brokenness. You know, this brokenness is about humbling yourself before God. It's about coming before God in humility, in humility. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So what is brokenness? What causes brokenness? I'm glad you asked. So the meanings of brokenness in the Bible, we're broken because of our own sin, our own choices. You know, I've got three beautiful kids. They're teenagers now and even now. But when they were younger, I used to always say to them, okay, Declan, you can learn the easy way or the hard way. Anyway, he's right here. You can learn the easy way or the hard way. And, you know, you say that to your kids. Okay, kids, you can either listen to me or you can learn the hard way and fail miserably. And how many, it's true, and then we'll pick you up. But how many of us are the same? We're the same. It's like God says to us, hey, son, daughter, you can learn the easy way or you can learn the hard way. God's still there, but we got to learn God's ways. It's so much better. But, so, you know, when we learn the hard way, it's like we're broken because of our own choices, our own sin. The Bible says, we read it this morning, we all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We've suffered the consequences of our own actions, our bad decisions, our wrong choices, our pride, our rebellious nature, our refusal to obey God's commands, or obey God's ways. God's saying, hey, I've put these ways for you. I've given you boundaries and parameters. Do it my way, because that's the way that there's blessing. But if you don't do it God's way, there's brokenness, there's pain. You know, Adam and Eve, we all know what happened there. You know, God said, don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they disobeyed God. And because of that, all of us, you know, we all experience it. We all experience sin and the consequences of brokenness. It's our own choices. Another time I want to share with you my complete testimony, but when I was 19 years old, I found myself as a drug addict living in the laundry of a house. Wow. Totally broken in sin because of my own choices. And God met me right there in the laundry of a house. I had an encounter with God. He saved me. He made me a new creation, a brand new creation. You know, so my story was, I was a drug addict. I was living in fear and paranoia. I was so badly hooked on drugs that I couldn't even have conversations with people. I couldn't even talk to people. I was so messed up, my psyche, because I'd taken so many drugs. But look at me now. Wow. You know, even as I, come on. You know, but we've all come from brokenness, incomplete, separation, humble. We're crushed by our grief. Oh, there you go. Wow, wowzers. Luckily, I've got an iPad so I can shine. I can, like, see? Hey, I'm going to keep preaching. Oh,
keep going.
Shaka. We're all broken. Broken relationships, broken friendships, broken dreams. You know, there's even this syndrome called the broken heart syndrome. It's actually a medically, it's a medical situation. It's called stress cardiomyopathy. And it happens when there's so much grief, it's so much pain, that something happens in a person's heart to cause their heart to break. You know, and this symptom actually right now is happening, is increasing even more and more and more. And they noticed that even during the whole pandemic, that this issue was a major issue, this broken heart syndrome. You know, when you're struggling with anxiety or depression, you can feel broken. You feel like there's something wrong with me. I feel broken inside. When you're lonely, you can't, you know, there's friendship issues, or you're single and you can't get a have a relationship. You think there's something wrong with you. You think that you're broken. Maybe you know, your marriage or a repetitive sin. You know, it's like, I can't get rid of this sin. It's like there's something broken in me. Maybe you're always getting triggered or always getting offended. Someone says something and I just keep getting offended by that same thing all the time. You know, brokenness is not God's judgment on us. Brokenness is simply the natural consequence of our fallenness, of our sinful nature. It can be our own sin, our mistakes, or it can be other people's sin. Number two, brokenness because of other people's actions. You know, if people don't allow their pain to transform them, they transmit it to others. And I've noticed this even in pastoral ministry. As you heard, we pastored a church for 10 years, and before that we were associate pastors of a church in Perth for 13 years. And dealing with people, I've noticed that normally the issue is not really the issue. There's something behind the issue. And sometimes, you know, they can be reacting, or a person can be reacting and saying all of this stuff. But really there's deeper issues going on inside there. There's brokenness inside there. You know, often the issue is not the issue, it's what's behind it. Yeah. Betrayal, false expectations, disappointment, family background. We've all come from interesting families. Hey, I'll tell you something. I'm one of 11. I've got 10 brothers and sisters. So you would think that, you know, in a large family, there's always issues. There's always stuff going on. There's always, you know, stuff that we're working through, and, you know, this brother and this sister and this and that. There's always stuff. We all have family backgrounds that can lead to disappointment or brokenness. Some of us come from other churches and, you know, my pastor used to be like that, and it causes you to think that all pastors are like this. Yeah. Pastor Dave loves how I know what that's like. But you know what? We all come with our stuff and our baggage and our brokenness, and then we transfer it onto other people. We put it on other people. We're all born with fractured places in our lives and in our hearts. Our attentions, our speech, our actions divide. They damage other people. We've all been on both sides of the coin. We can probably all think of times that we've hurt others. Yeah. We've definitely found ourselves as victims of someone else's sin. Yeah. You know, the world is broken as well. I mean, look around. We live in a fallen world. I mean, you just turn on the TV and it's like bad news after bad news after bad news. And, you know, everybody's affected by the pain of this world, its systems, you know, the self-centeredness. It's damaging to our soul. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jesus each and every day. I still need Jesus. We still need Jesus. This planet is broken, and through sickness, natural disasters, there's brokenness, there's grief. You know, I've had a lot of brokenness in my life, and you know, through situations in my life with family situations. I had my youngest brother, 22 years old. He died of leukemia, and he was a born again Christian, loved Jesus, and we all prayed for him and we're all believing for his healing. But the Lord decided to take him home, and that really affected me. It was like tough. It was like, how do I deal with this, Lord? I felt like, you know, my faith was broken in that moment. And like I said, we have a Savior. Jesus was broken for us. The agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, his suffering on the cross. But here's the good news. He rose from the dead. He overcame it all. So he understands all of our brokenness. He understands it all. He gets it all. And you're loved. You're held. You're understood. He loves you. You know, it was a number of years ago that I was in a really low place in my life, and I was struggling with a situation in my life and a situation in the church. And I'm like, God, don't you even understand what I'm going through? And I was praying and crying out to God. I'd found myself broken, found myself on my face, crying to the Lord. And I remember I had this picture, and this image came to me so clearly. And it was the image of me sitting in this garden, and Jesus came walking over, and I was crying in this garden, and Jesus came walking over to me, and he looked at me with his piercing eyes. I still see it to this day. And he looked at me and he said, "Steve, I see it all and I understand it all." And as he said that, something shifted in my heart, and I thought, God, you see me and you get it. You understand my struggle. You understand what I'm going through. You understand my pain, my grief, this dysfunction, this stuff that I was dealing with in my personal life. You see it and you understand it. And you know it, and yet he still loves us. He still loves us. He still extends us mercy exactly where we're at. You know, God loves you without conditions. He doesn't go, "Hey, I'm going to love you if you do this, 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 if you don't do this, this." He loves you without conditions. That's how good he is. He loves us without conditions. And here's the truth of it too. He loves us too much to let us stay there. He loves us way too much. He loves us so much that he wants to fight for our freedom, fight for our healing, fight for our wholeness. He doesn't want us to stay in that place of hurt or pain or grief or addiction or issues. He loves us, but he wants to bring us into wholeness, bring us into healing, bring us, take us on that path of forgiveness and resurrection and restoration. Amen. God is there. You know, brokenness is good for us. It's good to acknowledge our brokenness. It's good to acknowledge, God, there's brokenness in me. There's stuff in me. I need you to come and heal me. You know, brokenness can do one of two things. It can cause you to become bitter or resentful, or it can cause you to come to Jesus and receive healing and wholeness. It's your choice. Is your brokenness causing you to repent and turn to God? Or is your brokenness causing you to become resentful and bitter or offended? There's this beautiful scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me. That means if you've got weariness, if you've got burdens, if you've got brokenness in you, if you're dealing with a broken situation, you can come to Jesus. You don't have to, "Okay, I'm just going to sort that out myself and then I'll come to Jesus." No, we can bring it to Jesus right now. We can bring him our weight, our sin, our issues. "Lord, I'm struggling." Bring it to him. Just come. Come, regardless of where you're at. You're angry, you're sad, you've got issues, you've got failures, you've got problems. Just come. Come to Jesus. He sees it all anyway. He knows it all anyway. So just come to him. Just come to him. Bring all your baggage. And here's the promise. You'll leave different. You won't leave the same. You cannot leave the same. You know, you bring all this baggage, this brokenness to him, and you just leave it with him. You leave it with him. You re-engage with the face of God, realign to his face. You come. And it, you know, it takes time. That's why I love this church. I love how we open the altars.
We open the altars. It's like, come again, come again, come again. Maybe this will be the time that God does your healing, that God brings freedom and release and breakthrough. Just come again. You don't ever think, okay, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to come, or I've got stuff in my life so I can't come, or I've got this issue so I can't come. No, just come. Just come to Jesus. No matter how you feel, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're struggling with, just come to Jesus. And He promises to heal you, to set you apart, to forgive you, to bring healing and wholeness. You know, it might take a minute, might take an hour, might take 5 altar calls, might take 10 altar calls. Might take a month, might take a year, but just keep coming to Jesus. I've been coming to Jesus for 35 years and I just keep coming to Jesus. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming to Jesus. You know, He's the master craftsman. He's the one mending and making whole our brokenness. He's the perfect fixer. God is our fixer. He loves to come and heal us and form us and bring healing to us. You know, a few years ago, I discovered this amazing art. It's called kintsugi. Who here has heard of kintsugi? It's the Japanese art of getting a pot, breaking it, and then repairing that pot with gold. So the end of that pot is better than what it was at the beginning. So that pot with all of its brokenness looks even better than it was at the beginning. It's this beautiful art of mending broken pottery with lacquer resin sprinkled with powdered gold. So it visibly incorporates the repair into the new piece of pottery. It highlights the breakage instead of disguising it. This process usually results in something more beautiful and more valuable than the original. Doesn't that sound like something else? I love this. You know, we so easily discard that which is no longer perfect or functional. Mending, repairing, restoring, reusing are lost arts in today's society. But that's what God does. Knowing that imperfect objects can be remade into something more beautiful than the original gives me hope that the imperfections in my own life can be mended to make me into a more beautiful vessel than I was before. Man, isn't that such a beautiful picture of salvation? Isn't that such a beautiful picture that we're all on? We're all on that journey of from brokenness to wholeness, where God is making us, He's forming us, He's patching us up, He's making us even more beautiful than we were right at the beginning. And I want to show you this pot. I preached this a number of years ago, and someone bought me this pot. It's actually from Japan. This is the pot, and see all the beautiful gold lines in it, gold flecks in it, and it says on the bottom, this is what kintsugi means. It means more beautiful for being broken. Isn't that beautiful? That's a picture of us. Isn't that a picture of us? All of us with all of our broken parts, all of our issues, all of our struggles. But yet, if we bring our lives to the Creator, to the Master, to the Potter, we're the clay, and He manages to fix us up, to make us even more beautiful than what we were at original. And you know what? Those wounds in us, those issues in us, they become scars that we get proud of. And we're like, hey, check out this scar. Look at what God did in my life. I used to be a drug addict and He saved me. He set me free. I used to be crippled with fear and doubt. I couldn't even talk to people, and look what He did. Look what Jesus did. Man, isn't that beautiful? Kintsugi means to beautify the broken with gold. It literally means golden joins. Golden joints. Doesn't that sound like God? None of us are without flaws, yet God is able to mend and make all of us whole. And when God mends us, it's like pure gold has been added to our lives. Isn't this beautiful? I want to read you this poem. I found this poem and I just love it. Listen to this. I'm like one of those Japanese bowls that were made long ago. I have some cracks in me. They've been filled with gold. That's what they used back then when they had a bowl to mend. It did not hide the cracks. It made them shine instead. So now every scar shows every time I broke. And anyone's eyes can see I'm not what I used to be. But in a collector's mind, all of those jagged lines make me more beautiful and worth a much higher price. I was made long ago. I have some cracks you can see. See how they shine of gold. Isn't that beautiful? That's a picture of you. That's a picture of you and me. That's all of us. We've been broken, but God has taken us on this journey into wholeness. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20 in the Message translation. I love reading different translations. If you're struggling to read scripture, get a new Bible with a different translation. It's so good. But listen to this. We look at this sun and we see God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and we see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above, below, visible, invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and He holds it all together right into this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He's supreme at the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is He, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, listen to this. But all the broken and dislocated pieces in the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that is poured out from the cross. Isn't that beautiful? You know, you're a part of this church family. This is a beautiful picture of us all doing our part. We're all doing our part. We're perfectly fitted and joined together. And we become the body of Christ. We become the body as we all do our part in the local church. Amen. We all do our part and we're a little bit broken, but we've been healed. We're on this journey of wholeness and resurrection. And here's what I want to say. I really sense that God wants to heal some people here today. He wants to bring beauty out of your brokenness. He wants you to be open about your brokenness. He sees it all. And He understands it all. Here's the thing. God's goal for you isn't perfection. It's connection.
Come on. That's right.
It's not perfection. I was brought up in religion where it's like, I have to be perfect. I have to measure up to God's standard. And I have to measure up and I have to be absolutely perfect. No, God wants relationship with you. That's His goal for you, is relationship. And he says, bring all those broken pieces, bring them all. God's goal for you is connection. And here's another major mindset and paradigm that needs to change in us. Whatever is denied can't be healed.
Wow.
Whatever's denied can't be healed. In other words, bring Him your stuff. Bring Him your issues. Don't try and hide them away. Don't think, okay, I've got this issue. I'm just going to hide it away and I'll just be a Christian on Sundays. Bring Him everything. Because whatever you deny can't be healed. But when you bring Him your brokenness, your stuff, your issues, when you confess your stuff to Him, He knows it all anyway. That's when He can heal you. That's when He can set you apart. That's when He can bring wholeness into your heart and into your life. Amen? Because the bondage of the lie is far more painful than the journey of liberation. And we've all experienced that. The bondage of the lie is far more painful than the journey of liberation. There's always consequences. Whatever's hidden, it's going to be revealed. And we're seeing that right across society right now. Whatever people hide away, issues, sin, it eventually will come up. It eventually will be exposed. So you might as well bring it to God anyway. You might as well lay it down before Him anyway. Don't deny it. Bring it to Jesus. So what are some areas in your soul that you need the great healer to come in and heal? What are some of those mindsets? What are some of those broken places in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your heart, maybe in your motivations, maybe in your spare time? What are some of those broken places that, okay, I've got to bring this to God. I want to bring this to God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 says, He is the rock. His ways are perfect and all of His works are just. You know, Jesus has come to heal our brokenness. Amen. He's come to heal every broken place in our lives and in our heart. And all He wants from us is surrender. It's just surrender to Him. Just surrender to Him. You know, brokenness is often the pathway to breakthrough. It's when we come to Him with that broken and a contrite heart. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says this, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." You know, when we bring Him our brokenness, He's near to us. He saves us. He brings healing. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, "I am the Lord, the high and exalted one. I dwell on a high and lofty place and also with the contrite and the lowly of spirit." Isn't that a beautiful position that God dwells in the heavens above, but He also dwells with the humble, with the broken, with the people who come low before Him. And He binds up their wounds. He heals their broken hearts. That's our God. That's our God. I want you to stand. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to come and highlight those areas in our heart, because I know that the healer wants to heal. The healer wants to heal. He wants to heal you this morning. He wants to heal those broken places, those misaligned, those dislocated places, those things that are out of alignment. He wants to come and heal them this morning.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.